This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You say that this position is unnecessary. It's subjective because some people may say, no, we do need this. But Elon Musk being in charge, he is saving the country billions of dollars by halting, pausing, stopping hiring for what he regards as unnecessary positions.
It needed to be disruptive. It needed to save money. And anytime you save money, you're going to be disruptive. Something is going to give. On the flip side, I think it's been destructive and it's been instructive, of course, learning all these things. But it's been helpful because it's actually saved the per taxpayer. It's saved right now $714.29. So they've saved $115 billion in savings. Not all good, not all bad.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio at The Avenue. Here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in. You were listening to, as you heard, The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris and yours truly, DT. Now, before we get into our next topic regarding the First Amendment, I got to let you guys know, and ladies, of course, everybody, that at a critical time for my business, the Empowerment Small Business Loan Program from Old National Bank was a game changer. I was facing a dry period and I needed both tangible and intangible resources to sustain and navigate my business forward. And that is exactly what Old National Bank provided. So while the administrative requirements presented challenges at times, my personal small business loan officer supported me every step of the way, which ultimately became an invaluable learning experience, equipping me with knowledge that will benefit future business ventures. So this process was more than just a financial support. It was an opportunity for growth and empowerment. So thank you. Thank you to Old National Bank for believing in my business and providing the tools to help my business thrive. Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All loans are subject to credit approval. So, Dr. Ken, before we took a break, and we are at the top of the hour, I've got some shocking news for you. I mean, you're this is really going to throw you off.
You've been hitting me upside the head all day. Gone. I can take it.
Are you sure?
I can take
you
it.
You can take it?
Okay. Wait.
All right.
Okay, what?
It appears as though, and according to a credible news source, that federal agencies are now flagging or avoiding words like black and racism to comply with the Trump administration. And so an analysis was conducted by the New York Times, and it found that more than 5,000 web pages have been changed since President Trump took office for the second time. And as the Trump White House continues to transform the federal government as part of the administration, in particular with issues like race, gender, sexual orientation, they are literally eliminating the use of hundreds of words and concepts that have been targeted by the GOP for years, including black and racism.
Well, you know, these are the idiots that couldn't understand that you don't teach critical race theory in elementary and high school. So you figure if they got that wrong, I'm just saying.
Here's where it's problematic for me.
Why is that?
Okay, so you're telling me that we are now in this country.
Americans.
Where...
We're just Americans.
I'm sorry?
We're just Americans.
Just as Americans.
You're not a male American or a female American or black American or Irish. You are American.
So let me get this straight. As a communication coach, words are everything. And it's interesting because, you know, our generation, you and me, Dr. Ken, we come from a generation where we were conditioned to believe that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we know that's not the case anymore. And when you play with people's ability to use words. That's a very dangerous game. That's a very dangerous game, especially when it's coming from the highest levels of our government, i.e. the Trump administration, the executive branch of our government. That's a dangerous game, because we're talking about words, Dr. Ken, that describe real history, American history, lived experiences, systemic realities. Like, I'm sure if the Trump administration was listening to our show, they'd be like, shut it down. Because we, as a black talk radio station, we use words like black and racism. And to think that where we are in 2025 is trying or not trying, they are erasing that ability. This goes back to the systemic racism pandemic, because racism is like a disease and there is no cure. And here's the thing. And then I want to get your feelings on this, Dr. Ken. This is what just I find so just, are you kidding me? Not because the words black and racism aren't relevant, but simply because it's making powerful white supremacist racist people uncomfortable.
Right.
That's all it's bad. About. It's right. These words are not what's the word I'm thinking of? They're not a slur.
Correct.
They're not toxic. These are words that are real. And you're telling me just because you're getting uncomfortable. And so how do we, as a country, allow our own government to start censoring language that speaks to justice, that speaks to equality, and that speaks to truth? Where are we going as a society that's doing that?
I told you.
And that was a question to you.
I told you I was in the bar when the guy looked at me, and I had my sweatshirt for the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And he looked at me like, and he gave me this look like, look of disgust, like, what are you wearing that for?
I got it today. So I'm gonna, hopefully y'all can see, those that are tuned in, you can stream and watch Dr. Ken and I live right now on both X, formerly known as Twitter, as well as YouTube, just simply searching for 620 WTMJ. And so you can see the sweater that I have on today. And I've been in the airport all day. I flew from Dallas to Seattle. I'm currently in Seattle, Washington. And if you can see my sweatshirt that I'm wearing, oh, this made a lot of folks uncomfortable today. So this sweatshirt, if you can't see and you're listening, it says black, dope, and anybody that knows me knows it's one of my favorite words, and creative. It says black, dope, creative. It's a black-owned business that I'm supporting.
Right.
And the reality is that why, like, here's what I don't understand about white supremacy. I'm making you uncomfortable?
I'm making you uncomfortable. We've only been uncomfortable for about 450 years. They've only been uncomfortable about 450 days. So it's going to take a while for them to, you know, build up some instances.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Dr. King, because you're, again, you're mine. I'm coming from a place of ignorance. So if we are not allowed to say black anymore,
mm-hmm.
then how are we going to address black communities' needs across housing, criminal justice, and health care?
I guess we're going back to Negro.
Oop.
I guess we're going back to
Negro. See, that's what I'm saying. Systemic racism, they will have you thinking that this is the right thing to do because, man, it's making people feel uncomfortable.
Can I suggest that it's not systemic racism, just personal stupidity? And that's right. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't call people that on the radio. I'm sorry.
I mean, because I'm just trying to understand if I can't use the word racism, then how do I fight it?
I just want it to go away. It's not that I don't acknowledge that racism exists. I just don't want to feel bad because something that you're saying is actually true. So in order to get rid of it,
you're not even impacted.
Get rid of the word. It's almost
you're not
worse
even impacted
than
by racism.
Yep. It's almost it's almost equal to what they complained about. It's we are the Republican Party is canceling people after they complained about people being canceled. You are trying to cancel an entire race of people, an entire culture, an entire history by simply pretending it didn't exist. And when that didn't work, you're just going to take the words off. Makes no sense.
Let me just remind everyone, regardless of how you identify, that avoiding certain words like black, racism, or the three letters DE&I, it's not going to change the reality that they represent. It basically just leaves those, i.e. me as a black woman, more vulnerable. And if you can't say racism, if you can't say black, and if you can't say DE&I, then how do we ensure that every American citizen in this country has a meaningful, prosperous life? How am I as a black person, knowing that there are efforts, and successful, by the way, that are preventing me from, in my community, from having equal access to housing, affordable housing, quality health care, and a justice system that is just that? How? And that's the thing. Like, this goes back to the Jim Crow laws. This goes back to the civil rights movement. Like, when, you know, you can't say certain things, you can't go certain rooms. And words that matter to our community and to this country are now, by the Trump administration, being told to be removed. So black, equity, justice, racism. The truth makes people uncomfortable. That's why this show is called The Truth Unfiltered. The truth hurts. It's uncomfortable. But this is not just about words. This is about the impact. So what I'm hearing from the Trump administration, by removing or forcing federal agencies to remove these words as well as web pages, is that you basically are telling people that are impacted by racism and inequality that that's our problem, not yours. That's what I'm taking from that. That's y'all's problem.
Pretty much.
That's not ours.
Pretty much.
Which then goes back to segregation. And this is why I'd rather you tell me, Denise, you're not welcome in this restaurant.
Right. And then I can roll out.
You know what I'm saying? Because if we
see you later,
if we're going to hide the words, but yet still demonstrate the actions of racism and inequality and injustice, then I'd rather you just put up a sign and say, you're not welcome here.
Exactly. That is so very true. Speaking of truth.
That's my unfiltered truth, Dr. Ken.
All right. I don't think I can say anything after that. I think you were quite eloquent.
Thank you.
And just prove
and coming
that
from you, that means a lot.
That you really are a real communication coach.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny because I will have people tell me that are close to me. Well, I don't really deal with them anymore. But they would say things like, oh, Denise, you focus too much on the words. You're reading too much. And I'm like, would you tell a dentist? Oh, you're focusing on teeth too much. Would you tell a surgeon? Oh, it's just an organ. I'm a communication coach. I'm a public speaker. I'm literally speaking in Seattle tomorrow. And I just spoke in San Diego at a conference last week. And so words are everything to me. And as a communication coach, it is my responsibility to remind people the significance of words. So if you, again, are not understanding the severity of this, it is a strategic erasure of language that represents a reality that makes people uncomfortable because they typically are the source of the problem and not trying to be the solution. It's about silencing discussions on race and systemic inequalities. And that is simply because, not that you're impacted by it, but just it makes you uncomfortable. Me and my ancestors have been uncomfortable for 450 plus years. I literally, every day, am reminded that I am seen as insignificant. And for the most, let me be clear, for the most part, people that are good. But you have, here's the thing, it's just that one person, Dr. Ken, like on the flight today, these two racist white men, verbally, and I'm a lady. And because I don't argue with stupid people, you and I talked about that, Dr. Ken. Remember, I don't argue with stupid people anymore. I wasn't going to reduce myself to their low standards, but it hurt. It hurt to know where the energy, where their words, they were literally talking about me in front of me as if I wasn't standing right there.
I believe that.
A lot of these racist people, when they read headlines like this, they're like, yes, we're getting our power back. And they're getting real comfortable and confident.
You're listening.
And if you're listening,
oh,
I'm sorry. I was going to say, if you're saying listening and you're thing. Getting mad at me right now, uh-huh. You're part of the problem.
Uh-oh.
Congratulations.
I'm going to go to break and I'm going to duck. So she'll be. Sometimes the truth.
I don't like that, Denise Thomas. I bet you don't.
Sometimes the truth from a different perspective may open you up to understanding. I'm not asking you to change how you think, what you say, how you do. Just internalize it so you can not hurt other people. But at some point, I think it's going to come to a head. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you see America in 4 years. Because the majority of the people that are doing all these things won't be there.
Mm.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. Denise Thomas, I'm Dr. Ken Harris. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, along with the effective communication coach, the effervescent Denise Thomas.
You know, Dr. Ken is always so used to saying host. He is the co-host. Ladies, stand up. I am the other co-host.
You're the first. It's your show.
You better know it.
Dr. Ken. Anyway.
No, we are a team.
Al from Sherman Park, you are on Truth Unfiltered. How's it going?
Hey, going pretty well. I was just laying here listening to you guys discuss what DEI. And I think there was a question of why it bothers some people so for, I guess, maybe some affinity groups to always be recognized based on race or their gender. I don't know if you've ever seen it, there is a Key and Peele skit called the Gay Coworker or the Office Homophobe. And the gist of it is there is this office worker who is gay, and he's just always talking about how gay he is and how people are rejecting him because he's gay. And then at the end of the skit, it turns out that the coworker he's talking about is actually gay. He just doesn't like the way the coworker behaves. So I think in a sense, I think people get a little exhausted with the DEI. One of the things that was happening with the Trump administration, and ABC News had laid this out when the Jackie Robinson story had gotten removed.
Right.
It wasn't that the program was going around removing everything that was black. It literally was a tag on the webpage that said DEI Sports. So the computer program was looking for everything that said DEI.
Correct.
And it removed
Correct.
The page.
Correct.
And what I said was, then just put the page back up and just put it under American Military Heroes.
But the whole point of it was the fact that he was the first black baseball player.
Thank
and
you.
He was black. Like, why is that a problem? We do it with Irish people. We do it with Italian people. We do it with Canadian people. Like, why is it when it comes to that, all of a sudden, well, we don't want to be reminded of it?
And Dr. Ken, so let me just say, because Al, I know your position on DE&I, okay? Because we've had multiple discussions or dialogue regarding that. We're not talking about DE&I. It's a part of it. But let me go back to the original headline. Under the Trump administration, Al, federal agencies now are permitted to flag or to remove words, not letters, Al, words like black and racism. And so my question to you, now that I've clarified what we're talking about, because we're not talking about DE&I, we're talking about words like racism and black. If our government is censoring language that speaks to justice, equity, health care, and part of that is identifying the group of black people that it's negatively impacting, how do you think that's going to help progress as a society? Because this is what we call our censorship. So I don't want to make this about DE&I.
There it is.
This is about censorship. And in particular, with issues like race, gender, and sexuality, because it's making people uncomfortable in the Trump administration and making conservative people and people. And here's my thing. You don't have to like it or agree with it, but censoring it because it simply makes you uncomfortable. What are your thoughts on that, Al? Because again, this is not a DE&I issue. This is a censorship. So, this is the government controlling language.
So I'm going to throw another meme at you. There was a discussion between Mike Wallace and, now I'm skipping a blank here, the guy that used to play on Electric Company.
Morgan Freeman. I remember.
How do we get past this? You just call me Morgan, and I call you Mike. And stop focusing on my characteristics. And I think,
but why can't we focus on characteristics? Why can't we be who we want to be? Like, why does it bother you for me to call myself black? You don't have to call me black. But if I want to call myself black and refer to myself, why is that a problem?
So the ideology that
it's not an ideology. I literally am black. That's not an. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm trying to say what the ideology of the Trump administration is going under is if you stop focusing on these characteristics, you can just focus on individual people and their accomplishments.
But they'll never do it because they've proven that they'll never do it. They've literally proven historically and recently that they will not do it unless the law dictates it. I agree, but the problem I'm having, Voltaire said it best.
Okay, I got to say this. I got to interject.
I disagree with what you say, but I defend to the death your right to say it. It's about censorship. If I can censor what you say, I can censor your history. I can censor your words. I can censor, well, she's not really Denise anymore. Like, where will it end?
Al, I respect you as a value. Hold on, Al. I respect you as a valued listener.
Yep.
But sometimes, so let me just say this to you, Al. When you brought up the 60 Minutes interview between Morgan Freeman and Mike Wallace, you forgot or you missed a critical point. See, it's all about context. That conversation was specifically, because I viewed it probably 5 times, around Black History Month. And Morgan Freeman was saying, you don't celebrate to Mike Wallace. You don't celebrate Jewish History Month. You don't celebrate Irish History Month. It should be American history. That was his position. We're not talking about that. We're talking about censoring the words black and racism to comply with the Trump administration political agenda. So think about that. Think about the fact that words that describe real history, real experiences, just because they're making people uncomfortable, now you want to remove them. That is not about, and what you, again, what you were talking about is Black History Month, and then you're talking about DE&I. We're talking about censoring, silencing discussions. And here's the thing. If Morgan Freeman and you and me, Al, and Dr. Ken could walk into any room and know that we are viewed as equal. If we did not have to witness our babies being exposed to a lack of quality health care, then yeah, I would love to live in that world like Morgan Freeman described. But that's not the world that we live in. So how do we address issues that impact us if we can't talk about it? I'm asking you that.
So that was the other, that was the other direction we just came from, where certain people couldn't talk about certain topics. So in, for instance, in certain areas, you couldn't talk about maybe transgenderism not being appropriate for children under 18, or you couldn't talk about COVID, or you couldn't. Did you see, we've swung from one, I guess, a leftist view of language to, I guess, a right view of language where you don't discuss people by their characteristics, whereas one side focused on their characteristics.
But both of them are, but both of them are wrong.
You know, okay, so, but I'm not saying you can't talk about language, because if you go to court and you're going to file an EEOC claim, you're going to say, I was discriminated because of my race, and then you're going to break it down and say, You're going to say,
And I'm also going to say that you did something very specific that was against the law, and that's the difference.
But you're going to describe it to the court, right? And you're going to put forth an example of how it was wrong.
But you do understand, so, if Al, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, Al. Are you for, are you okay with the censoring of the words black and racism in this country? Are you okay with that?
If it's the policy of your administration, if it's your effort to create equality by not singling out people by their characteristics, I'm fine.
Okay, so Al, come on now. Do you think that this Trump... Okay, I'll play your game. Do you think the Trump administration is banning words like racism and black to further alleviate or eliminate racism in this country? And that's a yes or a no.
They're doing it to bring about what their view of equality is. You're not calling people solely... You Hispanic soldier, you black soldier, you Asian soldier, you gay soldier, you transgender soldier. You know what I'm saying? We've broken everything down to so many little schisms that everyone's divided into this pie of 1,000 pieces.
All right. Well, thank you, Al. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Denise, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I've got something for you.
Ooh, I love surprises.
All right. Wow, that was such a, anyway, passive-aggressive voice. You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. We'll be right back.
This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to The Truth. Oh, I guess it's your turn to dance this time, huh?
Boy, that's my, woo. Go on, Kendrick. Be humble.
It's almost like it's the Super Bowl again.
You know, it's amazing how everybody, when you hear Kendrick Lamar, they say Super Bowl. I'm like, Kendrick has been in the game, crushing it, killing it. But I guess, you know, that's the reason why artists take advantage of the Super Bowl platform.
But that is what you can honestly use,
guy, right?
The phrase hater. You can actually use the phrase hater. Yeah.
Oh, so that's not part of the words that the Trump administration is demanding that federal agencies ban and websites. Okay. So if you're just tuning in, we were talking about President Trump's most recent executive order. In addition to banning diversity, equity, inclusion programs, words or terms that are being flagged related to race, including black, anti-racism, anti-racist, discrimination, diversity, bias, and racial justice. Oh, it continues. Other words are feminism, non-binary, gender-based violence, Yeah, all these words, the Trump administration is saying no, no. And have also targeted terms used in the healthcare industry like health disparity and men who have sex with men. These are all terms intended to address inequities and specific social determinants in health or for marginalized groups.
And so then we need to get rid of all of the hate crimes throughout the country because there's no such thing as a hate crime anymore.
Well, according to Al from Sherman Park, if we just stop talking about it, it'll go away.
It will. It will. Like a rash. Just leave it alone. Just go away by itself. And then you watch it and
you know, I like Al from Sherman Park.
I can agree
with him.
Well, he's consistent and I can appreciate that. I can respect that consistency. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't have to agree with somebody. I'm not like, you know, I can still like you. You know, despite our differences in opinion and perspectives.
Well, you hang out with me and we know you don't like me. So, I mean, there you go.
I love you, Dr. Ken.
Shh. Don't ruin it.
I love you for a variety of reasons. I mean, like I said, people, if that's what's going to keep ratings up, then yes, I don't like you, Dr. Ken. You get on my last nerve. That's what's going to help ratings.
Goodness. I'm just jealous.
I will say, Dr. Ken knows this.
What's that?
Because he and I have worked together for going on now 7 years on this platform. Dr. Ken will tell you, if I don't like you, you'll know it. I'm not that person. You will know if I don't mess with you. And I'm cool if you don't mess with me.
Yeah, that's because
you at least give me.
But you don't speak to people when you don't be like, did she just walk past me like 627 times and didn't even look at me or say anything or acknowledge me?
No, I might smile and just keep it pushing. But typically, to your point, if I don't like you, then I don't even see you. You don't even exist.
Wow. And see, for me, that's too much energy. I don't know if anybody's really worth them. I gotta not. And then I'm inclined to go, hey, how you doing? How's the family? Is everybody good? Everything's great? Oh,
see, I'm not asking somebody that I don't like about their family.
Well, because everybody has to be positive now, right? Everything's positive today. Oh, my God, why are you so negative? Clearly, you haven't lived life, but okay.
I bet you we can still say fake news. I bet you we can still say.
Can't say black news, though. So what are you going to do with the entire race of people that are non-white that literally outnumber you? All right, we're running behind, and it's Evan's fault because Evan hasn't been telling us to play commercials.
No, it's not.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Don't let Dr. Ken throw you on the bus like that. You're doing a phenomenal job producing our show. We love Evan. Thank you, Evan.
Yes, he is. We do love Evan, but we don't have anything else to blame. I'm afraid of Denise, and there's only one other person left in here. It's Evan.
Why are you afraid? What is this I'm afraid of Denise thing? Because I have an opinion, I'm confident? Oh, that's right. Black women are supposed to be quiet and clean.
I didn't say nothing about gender.
Man.
I didn't say nothing about
don't
race.
Let us be confident and cute.
It's the blonde. It's the blonde hair.
It's the blonde hair?
Yeah. I can't get blonde hair, so I'm jealous. All right, I admit it. You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Harris. I heard that. She's Denise Thomas. I don't know if I'm going to be here when we come back because she be treating me some kind of way.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
And so that was the conversation that Al was referring to that Morgan Freeman had with Mike Wallace, who's Jewish, and about race. I think what happens is people hear that and they take it out of context. The other side to that is if you're going to do it, then you do it for everybody. But you
and
can't.
Again,
go ahead.
We have to get complete, Dr. Ken, with between the difference of race, ethnicity, and nationality.
Correct.
Being black is a race. You could be black Dominican. You can be black Latino. You could be black Irish. You could be black Jewish. So to ask Mike Wallace, do you want a Jewish History Month? First of all, let's keep it real. Now, there's a lot of things about that interview that I agree with from Morgan Freeman's
Correct.
Perspective. But let's go back here. We have got to understand the difference between race, ethnicity, and nationality. Because quite honestly, there's a lot of people who did not know that Mike Wallace was Jewish until he said he was. But you can clearly see that Morgan Freeman is a black man. We got to understand and understand the difference. And being Jewish in this country and being black in this country are different.
And to the point that I can be Jewish, be white, even though you may not look at yourself as a white person because you look at being Jewish as an ethnicity and a race, if that's your preference. But when you walk in a room, no one questions that you're not white or that you're something else or that you're Jewish.
Exactly.
Whereas when I walk in, my biggest descriptor is my gender and my race. And I can't do anything about it. So you get to decide what I am and how I am without me having any input before I open my mouth. Whereas you, on the other hand, there's an exception given if you're a white male that you're just right about everything.
And also, let's just go ahead and unfilter this other truth, Dr. Ken. Morgan Freeman is black. He is a man and he is American. However, he's got a lot of privileges. And I'm not... Rightfully so. I mean,
he's
an incredible actor. He's been in the game. But you have a lot of non-black people that are cool with Morgan Freeman because he's one of the good ones. He doesn't make us feel.
Didn't. No, you didn't.
He doesn't make us feel uncomfortable. Okay, so of course, Morgan Freeman can sit in that chair and look across from Mike Wallace and say that.
And have enough preference, have enough to have a career the next day.
Thank you. Whereas someone like, you know what? No,
me.
I'm not gonna go there.
Me.
No, I wasn't gonna say that. I was gonna really be controversial, but I will say this. Morgan Freeman was speaking from a lens of it would be nice if you didn't have to focus on my race or, like he said, regulating my history to a month when it's American history versus just seeing me as Morgan Freeman and me seeing you as Mike Wallace. But we all know that that is not the world or the country that we live in. So Morgan Freeman was speaking from I could sit there and say, Dr. Ken, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to pay taxes? Man, that would be a great, I mean, we can all, if we're a fifth, we can all talk about if this and it, but the reality is that race, it is one of the defining factors in terms of how society engages with one another. That's a fact. It is a determining factor in terms of how schools are built, how jails and penitentiaries are built,
and
the disproportionate access.
And in some instances,
yeah,
it's actually not a negative in context.
I'm cool with people saying
right.
Denise is a black woman. That's
right.
My identity. But when you mistreat me because of that, then that's when it becomes an issue. And that's the problem of if we're not allowed to talk about race, then how are we going to solve it?
Well, Morgan Freeman's...
Racism, I'm sorry.
Morgan Freeman's preference and privilege comes from the fact that they have his net worth in 2025 at $250 million.
You see what I'm saying?
But wait.
I needed somebody...
But wait. He gave his ex-wife somewhere between 100 and 200 million in 2010. So
Dang.
You know how much. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's privilege.
I'll be your missing.
Oh, what happened to your boy, Mr. Trump? You just passed
what?
On
You're
him
the second
already.
Person.
You
Somebody just asked me
him.
About that.
We saw how you turned. We saw that moment, how you turned.
In that moment, I wasn't a black woman, and he wasn't a Trump white man.
He was
very charismatic, smooth.
Mm. See how your voice just changed?
He was smooth.
See that? If your last name
was different, you and I might have been able to do a little something.
You and I both know that's not true. You and your 100
million. I don't discriminate. I will date any color of the rainbow.
Most women don't.
And I'm quite frankly, I'm at the age now where it looks don't even matter. You ain't even got to be good looking.
Look, the rhinoceros man. Let's go date him.
Hey, are you gainfully employed? Do you have your own
car?
Are you a man of faith?
Hey.
Then let's go.
Hey.
Yeah. At my age, looks.
Looks are deceiving. Looks are very deceiving.
Yeah, you do that in your 20s and 30s. Girl, you see how fine he is now?
Now, it's like there are so many beautiful women in the world that it's like, okay. Oh, look, she's beautiful. Okay. When you were younger, it's like,
I've heard many men say, I'd rather date an 8.5 than a 10.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
I've been hearing a lot of men say that.
Without a doubt. Because so many people will be chasing them. And so many people, and they'll be putting off people. It's not worth the hassle. It's not worth the work. It's a lot of work. And I don't mean high maintenance work. It's just the fact that everybody will be trying to be in her ear, buy her a drink. Here's my number. Here's my car. It just. Yeah.
So 8.5 women don't get that same type of attention?
8.5 women get it, but they're usually hanging out with tens. That's why. The wing man, the wing girl,
yeah,
always gets married. The other one don't. Because they go,
interesting.
Oh, she's beautiful, but that's the one that has the package. Beauty, okay. Brains, education, woman of faith, love Jesus, all that.
It's all subjective because I've heard men describe me as a 6. I've heard men describe me as a 7.5, 8.
The insulting part is that you give a woman or a man a number is insulting in and of itself.
Well, again,
everybody can be loved.
Yeah, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And so what may be a 10 to
but ugly is to the bone?
Yeah, but I just want, for the record, okay? Ladies, gentlemen, everybody.
You're still looking for a 10.
I do not care about looks at this point in my life, okay?
Evan.
If you got a receding hairline, I embrace all the recession in your head.
Evan, look at this face. Right.
All right.
I just wanted to witness.
Give me your overweight, your balding. I'm like the Statue of Liberty.
But you better have a job, right?
But you better
have a house and a car, right? Okay.
I'm not trying to be a nurse or a purse.
Wow.
Period.
That's unfortunate because as you grow older, you're going to be nurses for each other. So are you serious? That's ageism.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
It's called standards.
Oh, okay. So you'll kick him when he's too old now. I got to get somebody young. Bye.
I didn't say that. You did.
I know I did.
I'm not trying to be a nurse or a purse, but I will take the chunky, the skinny, the bald, the fully haired. Give me your tired, your...
That's not like anybody. Hey, you're listening to The Truth Unlimited. Thank you, Denise, for hanging out. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Ken.
All right. God bless. Take care. Thank you, Evan. I'm out.